Good morning. Welcome to Green Rock Radio. I'm your host, C.L. Howie. And sitting in with me today is Dick Tracy, Tyler Tracy, the guy with the superhero name. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Dale. How are you doing today?
Tyler Tracy. What do you go by?
Tyler Tracy. The syllables kind of work out, so Tyler Tracy usually goes together. But
okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right, got it. Yeah. All right, next time. And sitting in with us today is Richard Venberg, design, build, green architect, master cabinet maker, master cabinet maker and wood turner. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So, you've got quite an interesting background. I like it. He's an architecture degree from the U of M. He's a long-term resident of Como, Southeast neighborhood, avid bicyclist, avid gardener, self-employed for 30 years. Isn't it wonderful?
It is fun. It's kind of living the American dream, you know?
There you go. Yeah. I've been self-employed for almost 20 years, and it's just like I would never look back. Loves to travel and explore patterns of sustainability. I like this guy. So anyway, I was driving in this morning, and my little epiphany was I was looking at the weather patterns last night, and we've got we're having a Siberian spring this year. They've got our spring. It's 70 degrees in Siberia, and we're 20 degrees below normal. Why is that?
Come on.
Why is that, Tyler?
I have no clue.
Okay, well, I'll tell you why. Because of climate change. I love people who say, it's cold outside. See, there's no climate change. There's no global warming. That's weather. It's not climate change. It's localized weather. It's the jet stream. The jet stream usually pushes this weather pattern straight through over to Siberia. Well, it kind of decided to stop here. So go online, look it up, just Google jet stream disruption on Google and look it up for yourself and do the research because that's what's going on. This is climate change. So let's get back to Richard. Richard, let's talk a little bit about your background. How did you decide to get involved with the environment, or what was your epiphany that you had kind of connecting with nature, the environment, and starting to do what you do now?
Well, kind of early on when I first moved here from Colorado to go to the College of Architecture at the U, one of the first keynote speakers was an architect by the name of Bill McDonough. And he was very little known at the time. This was the early 90s, 90 or 91. And he just gave this this talk at the College of Architecture that just got me thinking, where do I want to be at in 25 years? What do I want to be able to look back on as my career? Did my career, you know, help solve? Was I part of the solution rather than part of the problem in this resource-starved world? So he gave a talk, and then he later went on to write a book called Cradle to Cradle.
I love it.
There is no waste. You start out with a raw material, and then 100 years later, you still have that material. There's no waste. There's no throwing anything away. And that got me to thinking about stuff.
Well, that book's been mentioned several times by other guests on this show. And it's how do you spell Bill McDonough?
Bill McDonough. I'd go with McDonough.
Okay.
McDonough.
All right.
Yeah.
Tyler's going to look that up. It's going to be up on our website, Cradle to Cradle.
Yeah.
So, you know, that always drives me crazy with the packaging and stuff, you know, because there's no reason why they can't make all packaging sustainable, recyclable, all that jazz. You know, even if it's just, you know, right back, you know, paper. Mm-hmm. How hard is that? You know, package with paper instead of all this plastic, you know, that we get in.
Right.
With all our stuff. Anyway, so you moved here from Colorado. Do you still have family back there, or is all your family here now?
Well, actually, all my family now lives in Kentucky.
In Kentucky,
of all places to be. But I still have a lot of really close friends out in Colorado.
Very nice.
You know, in a lot of ways, I still wish I'd lived there because they have 330 solar days a year, and we have less than half of that.
Oh, dear.
So if I, you know, wanted to be 100% solar, you got to move to Colorado.
Put more up. So, I mean, I figured out I have to have so many in my house to zero out my energy, and then you just reduce.
Right. Well, yeah, the first principle of sustainability is conservation. So mm-hmm. you conserve what you have and then embellish beyond that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you've got your degree in architecture from the U of M, and what did you do after that?
After the degree in architecture, then I started out as a professional cabinet maker. That's what I did in Colorado. Uh-huh. I made
really?
Custom cabinets, carpentry, did a lot of custom staircases, and worked for a lot of different architects, being a custom cabinet maker.
Really?
And realized over the years that architects were just a bunch of smarty pants, and they were always telling me what to do as a woodworker. So it took several years, but eventually I really hated architects because they were always telling me to do, and it got kind of visceral there for a while. And so I figured, well, I should just become one. So I looked around, and the University of Minnesota had a really, actually an internationally known cold climate research lab. They have 7 stories underground where that's all they do is research cold climate housing. So
Where is this?
It's right on campus. It's the building adjacent to the College of Architecture.
Civil engineering, right?
It's part of the civil engineering department. So
they've got some serious leaking problems now, though, with some of the aquifers in the area, though. So it looks like they could be. They got floors six and seven are a little underwater right now, but.
No kidding! I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, they're working on it.
So I figured this would be a good school to go to. You know, it's further north, cold climate housing, so you have to deal with all those thermal issues. So that would be a good place to learn about this. And
cool.
At the time, in the early 90s, it had an excellent reputation, so I thought, why not?
Hmm.
So I picked up and moved over here.
So are you one of the 30,000 sub-zero bicyclists in the Twin Cities?
Oh, no, I'm not that hardcore.
I've done that a couple times, and it's an experience, I tell you, because you're basically just skiing on your bike. You put on your ski suit.
You put on your ski stuff,
and you hop on your bike.
Well, I got the little snow booties to keep my toes from freezing, but I don't have the spiked tires, so no, not yet. No,
oh,
I'm a fair-weather bicyclist, but my wife and I, we do a lot of bicycling.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, there's just most fabulous trails around here. Do you have the Atlas, the bike Atlas?
Oh, sure.
Oh,
sure.
Man.
Got all that. And our house is located on the last section of the Grand Rounds.
Wow.
So now
that's 40 miles, I think, if you take the tour, right?
At least.
40 miles around the city.
At least. We have a 10-year-old daughter. That's how Dale and I got to know each other. But
We have.
And she's finally to the point where she can bicycle with us.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. How I met Mr. Venberg was over at Circus Zelias.
Zelias.
I want to say Zelius. My daughter just really corrects me. It's like, Dad.
Those X's. You don't see the X's very often.
It's a hoot. They have these kids going out doing tightrope walking, Spanish web. Work with the curtains.
Yeah, the silks,
the
I think.
Silk work.
I think they're called.
Yes,
that.
Yes. And she's just having a riot with that.
So is my daughter. She loves it. It's given her this really strong three-dimensional sense of her body. And
she's
really, I've seen her confidence grow and all that.
Well, they're so good with the kids over there, too. So we're doing a plug for Circus Zelias here. It's over on Broadway and Central.
Yes.
Right at the corner of Broadway and Central.
Right.
In what building is that? What's there's a name of that building.
It's a big red building. It's got like Waterford or something like that written on it. It's right on Quincy.
Okay. All right. How did you decide to do the self-employed route? I mean, so many Americans think, I've got to be employed. I have to find a job. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of ways to just create your own job. And so you decided to create your own job. And how did you go about doing that?
Well, years ago, way back in Colorado, when I moved out to Colorado from Pennsylvania in 1978, and there were very few cabinet-making shops around for employment, I was fortunate enough to get hired. And I lasted 3 or 4 months.
is that the longest stint you've had as a... As an employee?
No, actually, I worked for a local architecture firm here called Whole Builders.
I love that.
Mary Jane Heinen.
Mary Jane Heinen, yeah. She's been on the show, too.
Oh, Mary Jane has, yeah.
I worked with her on a couple projects.
And they have a great cabinet maker over there, Don Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
Don and I connected, and I lasted about 18 months there. So I think that's the longest I've ever been hired by anybody else.
You sound like me. I think my record was like 10 W-2 forms in 1 year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I had 3 last year because I work for, you know, different...
Chronically unemployable.
Exactly.
That's why
exactly.
I had to get my own job. I had to make up my own job because
couldn't
find one I liked.
Exactly. So after I got fired from that job, that cabinet-making job in Boulder, Colorado, I figured, geez, I might as well just rely upon myself and go out and find clients and build up my shop and my, you know, cabinet making skill, develop my trade,
uh-huh.
and it's just never looked back. It's just
well, I'm excited to talk to you about our topic today, which is the housing issue. Now, 60% of our carbon gas emissions are from our buildings.
Correct.
And some people play with the numbers, they argue back and forth. Well, agriculture does this. We've had John Fillmore he did a piece called Another Inconvenient Truth, and he's been going around and talking about that, land use and resource allocation. And what he says is that, you know, he's a youth professor, and he said that we're using the entire continent of Africa for raising animals to eat. The entire continent of Africa for 7 billion people. So if you eat meat, it's your fault. But then we're using the entire continent of South America for food production. So we're using almost a fifth of the world's total land surface. That's not including the arable land. We were using almost 70% of the world's arable land. In other words, land that you can use for any kind of growing. You know, then the other areas you're talking about, the tundra and areas, you know, the poles and Sahara Desert and really non-usable space. But we're going to come back and touch on that and start talking about housing after these messages. You're listening to Green Rock Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
There's a street in a river town, and on that street is Mary's house. By the house is a deep ravine, and running there is a magic.
Looking to be on the cutting edge of renewable technology? Want to become energy independent? Or just tired of paying high electric bills? Minnesota Wind Technologies vertical access wind turbines are your answer. Our wind turbines are aesthetically pleasing, urban and suburban compatible, make very little noise, and have almost no vibration. Call Mike at 952-406-0022 today for a free wind analysis of your business or home. That's Mike at 952-406-0022. Or visit us at mnwind.us. That's mnwind.us.
At risk of losing your home in a foreclosure? We can help. We'll deal with your bank, lower your principal. We'll buy you a pony, give you the ability to fly. We'll let you ride a unicorn. We'll give you a...
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The HOPE Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies available 24 hours a day who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the HOPE Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Lavender Magazine is your connection to a diverse and vibrant Minnesota. From restaurant and theatrical reviews to in-depth conversations with artists and community leaders, pick up a copy from one of over 800 locations. And visit us online at lavendermagazine.com to search our interactive events calendar, even download our daily award-winning podcasts from Big Gay News and Wanda Wisdom. Lavender Magazine, unleash your inner gay.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
By supporting the advertisers that support this station, you're keeping Minnesota's economy strong. By keeping your money in the local economy, you're supporting small, locally owned businesses that give back to their communities. And if you find a business that doesn't advertise at AM 950, tell them they should. And make sure that when you do shop locally, you tell them you heard their ads right here on AM 950. And as always, be sure to visit am950radio.com for lists of advertisers, upcoming events, and our always free web stream of your favorite AM 950 shows.
Hey parents, looking for a way to keep your tykes hands-on this summer? Tyler here from Green Rock Radio and Go Solar Workshop to tell you about our brand new Camps for Kids grids, K through 9. Unlock the world of green energy for your kids by showing them that the sun can be fun too. This summer, we're building solar race cars, robots, and snap-together gadgets, all the while learning the important stuff about green energy. It's bound to be a blast, so if you want your kids to be happy campers this summer, visit GoSolarWorkshop.com or just give us a call at 1-855-SOLAR-01. That's 1-855-765-2701.
And welcome back to Green Rock Radio. I'm your host, Dale Howie. Sitting in with me is a guy with a superhero name, Tyler Tracy, Dick Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Good morning, Dale.
Tracy, can you give us any good news this morning?
You know, I tried.
And failed miserably.
There's something about this country and good green energy news that may be just fundamentally incompatible for the time being. So we've got some work to do. But according to alternet.org, because Hawaii is geographically isolated from the broader public, it is an ideal location for conducting chemical experiments.
Ooh.
And what better company to conduct chemical experiments than Monsanto?
Monsanto. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
So Monsanto and biotech corporations have sprayed over 70 different chemicals now in Hawaii over various field tests, and this is a serious problem. There's been a lot of protesting there because the idea of genetically modifying organisms is sacrilegious in a lot of indigenous religious belief. So, oh man, eschew that though. Let's spray some chemicals.
Okay. All right. Gloves are off. Stop buying their crap. Again, it's like if you're empowering Monsanto by buying their crap. So let's trace it back to what their products are and stop buying them, defund them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only way we're going to take back the reins of this country or anything, any process in the planet. And we were just talking about, you know, how we got here, how these, you know, food companies got so powerful. And Richard was telling us about a process. Can you just touch on that, Richard?
Oh, the process is called the Haber-Bosch process, and it's very much in the news right now because of the disaster that just occurred in Texas. But the Haber-Bosch process was developed just before World War I, and what it does is it pulls nitrogen out of the air. The air is comprised of about 85% nitrogen. It's probably second only to water on the planet in terms of just sheer volume. But it takes that form of nitrogen and turns it into a fixative form that can be bonded to chemicals in the soil, and hence that's how we get our chemical fertilizer. That's what androgenous ammonia comes from, is from nitrogen pulled out of the air. The process is...
So that's a waste product. The ammonia is a waste product.
Well, the ammonia is what you want. That's the type that the plants feed on. But it's also, if you tweak that process a little bit, you get benzene, which was what... fueled all of World War I. You tweak it a little bit more, you get all your gunpowder, which fueled World War I. You tweak it a little bit more, and you get synthetic rubber. Hmm. All those three things, without which World War I wouldn't even have lasted 6 months, because Germany would have run out of gunpowder, gasoline, and rubber, because they're a landlocked country, so they have no way to import it.
Wow, is there some place to read about this?
It's a fabulous book. Excellent read. It's called Alchemy of Air, and the author is
Thomas Hager.
Thomas Hager. It was out.
We're going to definitely put that up on our website. Alchemy of Air.
Yeah.
And Thomas Hager. How do you spell his last name?
H A G E R Hager.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. I'm a little surprised that the news media isn't pulling that up as a side story to go with this fertilizer.
Well, you mentioned why. You mentioned why, because you said that that the Earth really is only able to sustain 3 billion people. Now we're up to 7 billion people, and without this process, we could not have surpassed 3 billion people,
right,
even if everybody was a vegetarian.
That's according to this author, that's exactly right.
Wow.
In fact,
so 4 billion people really shouldn't be here.
Well, you don't want to disinvite those people, you know, because we are here, and this is how we got here.
Okay.
But that process is essential. In fact, at the London Royal Academy of Sciences in 1899, the president of that academy said, the world will face imminent starvation by the 1930s unless we find a way to supplement the guano trade. So you go back to the guano trade, and Abraham Lincoln, when he signed that into law in the 1860s, that any island, any place on the planet that had bird guano on it, which is nitrogen-based fertilizer, can become a U.S. territory. And the U.S. can seize that property. And that's how we got all the American territories out in the Pacific Ocean. You know, American
wow.
Samoa, the Marianas Islands were all seized under the Guano Act of the 1860s by Abraham Lincoln.
My jaw is on the floor right now.
That's all in this
My
book.
Jaw, if it's got bird crap on it, it's mine.
And you go right to Chile, which is where the Atacama is. And those islands were covered with 80, 100-foot deep piles of
bird
drop. Exactly. And all the eastern clipper.
How's that for a footnote in our history? The U.S. was built on bird crap.
You know? Modern agriculture is built on bird crap, yes.
Wow.
Oh, and then that
Simple
evolved
beginnings.
Or de-evolved into Monsanto.
Oh,
man.
Life itself without how what is their logo?
Oh, the comedy.
Chemicals without chemicals.
The angles
life
of
itself.
Comedy yeah. that could be taken off this for one idea are just infinite.
Mm-hmm. We have a whole other show here, right?
I'm
now.
Getting chickens this weekend, so I'm going to have my own guano production facility right in my backyard.
Right in his own backyard.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to try to get onto the topic.
We're supposed to be talking about greenhouses.
topic for today. This seems to be a recurring theme on this show.
Yes, we wander.
Oh, wandering. All those who wander, however, are not lost. One of my favorite bumper stickers. So, back to the topic of green housing. Okay, so we have gotten to the story of Richard. We have gotten to how he started his business and what motivated him to get there. And during the break, we were talking about my trials and tribulations of trying to green up a standard construction house that I built in 2000. And Richard, tell us about what you're doing with your house right now.
Well, my house is a bit older than that. I live in Como Southeast. My house was built in 1910, so you could almost call that the first ring suburb. It's just on the other side of the railroad tracks from the University of Minnesota. And so what I've been doing slowly over the 15 years that we've owned the house, I had to rebuild my 1925 garage.
Mm-hmm.
Garages started popping up in all these neighborhoods with the advent of the automobile. And so my garage was a 1925, falling down, decades of deferred maintenance on it. So I rebuilt that about a dozen years ago. But it had beautiful solar access in the backyard. My house does not because of the wonderful shade trees, which are, like 100 years old. So I rebuilt the garage, and in the process, I knew I wanted to do it all green and kind of have it as a showcase. So I had to pull a permit to build the garage, and I also had to pull an additional permit because I wanted to put a heating system in it. So when I went to the city, I wrote down on the line for heating system, I just wrote in thermonuclear reactor. I was feeling a bit like a little bit of smartass in me that day.
Okay.
So they made me spend an additional $90 for the heating permit because I was putting solar collectors on the roof with in-floor radiant heating. When the heating inspector came out, this was a dozen years ago, he looked at it and he said, well, I don't know anything about solar collectors. So he looked at the simple plumbing and he said, well, three things. He says, it can't blow up, it can't catch on fire, and it doesn't outgas anything. So what did they make you pull a permit for?
Good question.
Because permits are permissions. They're permissions to do something that affects the public domain. And the public domain is all about health and safety issues. So my solar collector has no adverse health and safety issues.
As do most solar collectors. But anyway, we're going to be right back with Richard and his fascinating story after these messages. You're listening to Green Rock Radio on AM 950.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
Do you live with depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or some other mental illness? Do you have a family member who lives with a mental illness? If you've answered yes, you are not alone. NAMI Minnesota, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, can help you understand mental illnesses, learn how to obtain treatment and services, and find support. NAMI provides free education classes, peer-led support groups, and materials on illnesses and the mental health system. For information, call 1-888-NAMI-HELPS or visit NAMIHELPS.org.
Hi, Dan here, owner of It's a Pest Life and It'sAPestLife.com. If you're tired of paying those high prices at the outlets and big box stores, check out our prices at It'sAPestLife.com. You'll be amazed at how much you'll save. We only sell all natural foods and treats for the well-being of your pets. Best quality, best prices, best selection. It's only natural to shop at It's a Pet's Life for the health and happiness of your pet. Located in Plymouth and Edina, or shop online at It'sAPestLife.com for free delivery.
Start your improvement season with a clean, fresh home. Using empowered water, Zero Res gets your carpet and upholstery clean without leaving all that sticky, soapy residue. Zero Res is available 7 days a week across the Metro and St. Cloud. So call them today. Even your pets will thank you.
Call Zero Res today and get 3 rooms free treated, cleaned, and sanitized starting at just $149. Call 651-779-8888. 651-779-8888. For Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Don't miss the second annual Longevity Expo this Saturday only at the Maple Grove Community Center.
This show is all about learning how to live a longer, healthier, and happier life.
The Longevity Expo features over 150 exhibitors and will showcase the latest products, services, and information for better health.
Talk with the experts and enjoy demonstrations and product sampling.
It's all this Saturday only at the Maple Grove Community Center for our second annual Longevity Expo.
Free admission with a food shelf donation. See it all at expoguys.com.
That's expoguys.com.
Join Garrison Keillor, revered radio host and proprietor of Common Good Books, for an afternoon of poetry. It takes place Sunday, April 21st in the Weyerhaeuser Chapel on the McAllister College campus. Garrison will also be announcing the winner of the first annual Common Good Books Amateur Love Poem Contest. Festivities begin at 1 p.m. on Sunday, April 21st. Find more on this event by stepping into Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling in St. Paul. Or just go online to commongoodbooks.com.
AM 950 weather brought to you by the Park Tavern. Sunny today with a high near 39. Snow likely after midnight tonight. There'll be a low around 31. That snow will continue into Sunday morning, then turning into rain. It will be cloudy with a high near 53. A low around 36 at night. Monday will be cloudy and 38. EatLocalMinnesota.com's Restaurant of the Week is the Park Tavern. Food and fun for the whole family with an award-winning full-service restaurant. North of Highway 7 on Louisiana Avenue in St. Louis Park. Details at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
And welcome back to Green Rock Radio. I'm your host, Dale Howie. Sitting in with me today is Tyler Tracy. Tyler, you got any good news for us today?
I might be able to do some good news for you a little later on.
Oh, what do you got?
But first, we got to get through our tar sands.
Oh, the tar sands.
Exxon oil spill update here. Okay, so this from treehugger.com. Today marks the fourth week of cleanup in Mayflower, Arkansas, after the Exxon Mobil Pegasus pipeline ruptured, spilling 84,000 gallons of crude into the streets of the neighborhood.
Ooh, I got to interrupt. Did you see the hazmat guys in the hazmat suits? They were, like, using power washers to, like, get rid of the tar sands by washing them down the storm drain into the river.
No way.
Yeah, you didn't see that? I'm like, literally like, you got to be kidding me. They got this close-up of the hazmat guy completely covered so it doesn't get any of him, but he's going to dump it into the river.
Sure.
Brilliant.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, like the EPA out there, right? Yeah, whatever.
Well, Exxon has, they've decided they don't want to pay what the Arkansas Attorney General asked for, which is $4 million just for an investigation, right? A little bit of responsibility. They're not going to pay the $4 million. What they will do is give $10,000 to the residents with affected homes.
That wouldn't even clean up their yard.
We'll put a little in perspective. Exxon CEO Rex Tillerson, he makes $10,000 in a little under 9 hours. So we won't pay for an investigation, but we will.
Greedy, bastard-faced people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
9 hours.
One value. Money. Screw everything else.
Yep. So, sorry to drop the bombshell there.
Yeah, man, you put me in a good mood, Tyler.
Oh, well, if they're getting $10,000, I want to move into that neighborhood. Boy, those houses are great.
Okay, yeah, we can roll around in it and make little tar sands angels in the go out in the yard and make tar sands angels. Have your kids rolling around that stuff. Wow.
Well, you know, there is no way. There's no place to. You can't flush it down the drain. You can't pour it into the river. You
leave
can't
it
let
it in the ground.
And make it disappear.
Leave it in the ground. Okay, here's the deal. Sequestered carbon. It's sequestered. It's over billions of years. This stuff has been built up in the Earth's crust, carbon from animals, whatever, that have been taken out of the air. And so now we're going to take a billion years of carbon and just throw it up into the little bit of air we got left and think that's not going to affect anything. I mean, I still get people who are climate change deniers who are still running around in their of all things, their Hummers, and thinking that they're not going to have any effect on the planet. Well, we got news for you, people. So let's get back on topic. Richard, we're talking about cleaning up this mess with our housing. So I've got this 2000 build plastic siding housing, which I'm embarrassed about at this point in my life. You've got a solution. Talk to me about and the public about some of the things that you've done with sustainable materials and projects that you've done. We talked a little bit about your garage, and you've got a green roof on your garage.
Yes.
And you said you had an interview or whatever. They put a news crew up on your roof of your garage. Okay, talk
yes.
to us a little bit about that, and then get into materials use.
Well, as I mentioned before, my house was built in 1910, and so it's all stick framed. The original old growth timber, that covered this area for centuries upon centuries. It was all harvested about 100 years ago and turned into all these wonderful stick frame houses that are all throughout the Twin Cities. Well, everywhere in the world, because stick frame was very, very popular and still is. So the first principle of sustainability is conservation. So what I've tried to do is I've slowly upgraded all of our appliances, which are an easy thing to do now because you just look for a green label. Green Star label. I've added more insulation because our walls are the original 2x4 walls, which didn't even have insulation 100 years ago, and now I've put insulation in there. I've got a solar power attic fan, which when the sun comes out and starts to heat up our attic, then it pulls that hot air out, which that in turn diminishes our cooling load. Mm-hmm. So literally, we don't have to run an air conditioner now on the second floor bedrooms because we're taking that excess heat out of the attic. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the simplest things I've done.
Mm-hmm. And so what would the cost be for somebody right now on one of those solar vents?
I've seen them on eBay for $199 to $299
wow.
a piece. And then you have to have someone climb up on your roof and take out one of the square foot passive vents there mm-hmm. and just replace it with an active solar powered fan. And mm-hmm. that actively then pulls the heat out of your attic, which just builds up all summer long. And, the common, United States response is, well, we'll just put in a bigger air conditioner. And then you get more energy tax credits the bigger the plant you put in your house.
That's a great point. You were talking about appliances. So instead of spending maybe a couple thousand dollars on a very, very efficient refrigerator, people are looking, well, I want to offset that. They're going to put up $5,000 in solar panels to keep their cheap fridge. And so, again, the good money is on conservation. Is on better appliances, is on, unplug it,
right?
Shut it off.
Right.
That's the cheapest form of energy conservation is don't use it in the first place.
Yeah, that is the way to go, but it's not as sexy as putting those really slick solar panels up on your roof.
They are sexy, by the way.
They are. They are the coolest thing going. But the first step when you're doing, looking to upgrade your house to some type of renewable energy system is to have a site assessment. And what the site assessment does is determine, if you have enough south-facing roof surface or backyard to put in the solar collectors, but it also assesses your energy consumption. Mm-hmm. How many therms are you consuming, in the winter? How many kilowatts are you consuming year-round? And how can you conserve that first?
Sure.
So once you lower your demand, mm-hmm. then you need fewer panels up on the roof.
Well, Richard, let's get into materials and building because that's really what we want to talk about. And you had some ideas. Like I've got this lot I want to develop, and it's got a bunch of cottonwoods on it. You had an idea for using alternative materials or materials that are on site and use them as building materials. Give me some concrete examples, but give me some examples of alternate material use that you've done in build projects.
Yeah, there's so many. I think just to keep it kind of a simple narrative, when I rebuilt my 1925 garage, what I first did was deconstruct the 1925 garage and pull out all that
old growth timber, all those old 2x4s, and I reused those in the construction of my new building. Mm-hmm. So with my new building, I went with 2x6 construction, you know, little thicker walls, mm-hmm. but a type of framing called OVE, called Optimum Valued Engineered Framing. And so what that does is that diminishes the amount of timber by about 30% that you're
really?
Going to use in your construction because, and instead of being 16 inches on center, your framing is 24 inches on center. And instead of using two bottom plates and two top plates, you use one, and you center your trusses in direct compression onto the studs, which are 2 feet on center. So then that, in turn, diminishes the amount of thermal bridges that you have between the inside and the outside of the building and adds in more insulation because instead of a piece of framing every 16 inches, you have it every 24. That's more insulation.
Right. Well, what about
so
what
that's
about
the very first thing.
What about staggered? You want to do a 2x6 wall and you got 2x4s. What about staggered, you know, 2 foot on center and then stagger the wall?
Right. That's another excellent way to go. I didn't do that in my 500-square-foot garage because when you're staggering walls like that, you're consuming more floor space. And with only a 500-square-foot studio, originally I looked at doing a straw bale construction. When I first got out of architecture school, I was a carpenter on a friend's house up in North Branch, and he was the first code-approved straw bale house in the state of Minnesota.
Really?
He has a 2,500-square-foot, two-story straw bale house. And so those walls are about 18 inches thick of straw bale, and they're performing at around R50, R60, whereas code for a standard residence...
It's like R16 now?
Maybe 19 or 20, somewhere in there. But
right, but the thing with that is that what people don't understand, if you've got like a 2x6 wall that's rated at an R16 or whatever it is, you know, you lose that because of the thermal, you lose heat through the studs.
Correct. Yeah, that's the thermal bridging that I mentioned.
Right, thermal bridging through the studs. So you end up really with an R13 house, which is nothing. It's not much better than a window.
Well, you know, in the trades, you know, code is the minimum.
Right.
You have to at least do this, please, to meet code,
but code is
such a low
that's
bar.
That's all they're doing. I mean, you see these houses getting thrown up all over the place.
Well,
they're doing the minimum code because it's the quick buck.
It's the quick buck. It's very disturbing just to see this go up because it's just contributing to the same mindset, which is put in something. And so then you put in an air conditioner to keep it cool in the summer. You put in a bigger heating system to keep it warm in the Minnesota winters or wherever you happen to be.
So you're pushing the cost on the future. You're basically kicking the can down the road.
Exactly.
Because you're adding, instead of spending a little bit more on infrastructure and insulation in the first place and materials in the first place, you're basically minimizing material use and increasing energy use.
Correct.
Yeah, so.
And that's a good analogy. You're kicking the can down the road. You're going to let somebody else figure it out. I'm waiting for my 10-year-old daughter to figure it out. Is that that the burden I want to put on her generation, that she has to figure this out? And then when I am no longer able to do this kind of work, I want to look back and go, well, I'm really sorry, but I couldn't figure it out. I hope you figure it out. But it's a resource-constrained world, and it's getting more and more that way. So we have to conserve what we have now. That's the first principle of sustainability.
Right.
You can't repeat that enough. Like we said, it's not a sexy solution. It's just a common-sense approach solution.
Right.
So as I continue to upgrade my 1910 house on my studio apartment in the back, which is still a two-car garage, because the bankers and the real estate agents, they only want to see a two-car garage. They don't want to see a solar-heated studio with a living roof. In fact, we just had our house appraised because we wanted to take advantage of these incredibly low interest rates right now. And when the appraiser came out, not only did he not put a value on my solar collectors, he didn't even acknowledge their existence on the building.
Wow.
And so when I went back to, I don't know if I can mention the name of the bank, and I said, hey, I have solar collectors up on the roof. They have to be worth something. By the way, the new real estate and banking rules are now is the bankers can't contact the house appraisers to tell them that there's an error or an omission in the appraisal because there can't be any undue influence from the banks going to the appraisers. So So the appraiser can't return my phone call to come and fix his errors and omissions without the bank telling him to do so, but the bank can't contact him. So I had to pay for another appraiser to come out and at least acknowledge the value and the existence of the solar collectors. And then I got the value that I wanted to. But always the excuse is, well, we have to look in the neighborhood a quarter mile around
right.
and see which house sold.
It's a systems issue. It's code.
Yeah.
It's banks. It's appraisers. It's a systems issue on where we're placing our values.
Right.
And so I always like to say, you know, we've got so much money in this country. It's not a spending problem that we're having like with the budget. It's a priority problem.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
This is endemic. Again, another endemic point.
Right.
So we're going to be right back with Richard Venberg after these messages. You're listening to Green Rock Radio on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey parents, looking for a way to keep your tykes hands-on this summer? Tyler here from Green Rock Radio and Go Solar Workshop to tell you about our brand new camps for kids grades K through 9. Unlock the world of green energy for your kids by showing them that the sun can be fun too. This summer, we're building solar race cars, robots, and snap-together gadgets, all the while learning the important stuff about green energy. It's bound to be a blast, so if you want your kids to be happy campers this summer, visit GoSolarWorkshop.com or just give us a call at 1-855-SOLAR-01. That's 1-855-765-2701.
I'm Rachel Ray, and food is not only the way I make my living, it's how I spend time with my family and friends. It's hard to imagine true hunger, but sadly, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal will come from. They're your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger to find out how you can make a difference. I'm Rachel Ray, and together, we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Spring has arrived, and the warmer weather means more house guests. So before all the friends and family arrive, grab that spring cleaning checklist and be sure it starts with a visit from Zero Res. Your carpet and upholstery will look and feel great because only Zero Res cleans with empowered water, leaving you with clean carpet, not harsh chemicals.
Call Zero Res today and get 3 rooms pre-treated, cleaned, and sanitized starting at just $149. Call 651-779-8888. 651-779-8888. For Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Open weekdays just west of downtown Minneapolis on Glenwood Avenue, Milda's Cafe has served the ever-changing faces of Minneapolis for 45 years. Enjoy a hearty, home-cooked breakfast and lunch. Family-owned and operated, the focus has always been about good food at reasonable prices in a clean and friendly atmosphere. Treat yourself to a homemade Finnish pasty every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Stop by Milda's weekdays from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Glenwood, just east of Penn.
Reflections of New Minnesotans is a weekly program on immigrants living in Minnesota. I'm your host, Juliana Kessa-Opoti. Listen every Saturday at 2 p.m. as I interview people from Minnesota's diverse immigrant communities to discuss culture, lifestyle, and the important issues that New Minnesotans care about. Reflections of New Minnesotans is sponsored by YouCare, improving the health of its members through innovative services and partnerships across communities. YouCare, healthcare that starts with you. Learn more at youcare.org.
Looking to be on the cutting edge of renewable technology? Want to become energy independent? Or just tired of paying high electric bills? Minnesota Wind Technologies vertical access wind turbines are your answer. Our wind turbines are aesthetically pleasing, urban and suburban compatible, make very little noise, and have almost no vibration. Call Mike at 952-406-0022 today for a free wind analysis of your business or home. That's Mike at 952-406-0022. Or visit us at mnwind.us. That's mnwind.us.
And welcome back to Green Rock Radio. I'm your host, Dale Howie. Sitting in with me today is Tyler Tracy, Dick Tracy, the guy with a superhero name. Hello, Tyler.
Hello, Dale.
And Richard Vengard, who is a design build green architect.
Hello, Dale.
Welcome back, Richard. So, can I please... Mr. Tyler Tracy, can I please get some good news today?
I think I can do that.
All right.
Made you wait long enough. Okay,
all right.
So we've all heard how hydrogen fuel cells can be used to power cars with water.
But according to ScienceDaily.com, researchers in Stockholm have developed a fuel cell battery charger that is apparently faster and more reliable than solar chargers. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that as a solar representative here. We'll say tentatively faster and more reliable than solar chargers. And
some people say.
So apparently this is a step.
That's a favorite source on Fox News.
Yeah.
Some people say
from
that.
Reliable sources.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe we see fuel cell laptop batteries in the near future here.
Sweet. Also at REI, I saw this really cool cell phone charger for like camping, and uses just a flame. There's like a process that it has like a flame next to a metal plate, so you can use it for your light at night, and it's also charging your cell phone while you're camping. And I saw that at REI, and I'm like, wow, that is cool.
That is really cool.
You know, yeah. I really had to hold back on buying that thing just from its sheer coolness.
Got
to
check it out.
I had to do the process. Do I really need this? No. Okay. Anyway, so if you have a need, REI's got your product. So let's see. What were we talking about today? Oh, yeah, housing. JT, what's up? You're on the air on Green Rock Radio. Good morning, JT.
Oh, guys, thank you for piping me in. We might have to change the name to Go Fuel Cell if they start being better than solar. You know? It's all right. I just want to call let the listeners know that we are at the Mother Earth Festival here in St. Paul. Please come out. There's a lot of good stuff going on, a lot of good food, a lot of good dancing, a lot of green, sustainable products.
Wow. Where you at, JT?
We're at the Paul Shelley Wellstone Community Center, which is 179 Robbie Road in St. Paul. So if you know the west side of St. Paul area, just come here and you see we're all out here. We're in tents. It's a beautiful day out here. Snow, but it's beautiful.
Yep. Yeah, the Paul and Sheila Wellstone Center, if you're trying to get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, the Paul and Sheila Wellstone. And we have Nicole, the life coach here.
Oh,
we have a lot of our guests that were on the show here.
Nicole from Overstuffed.
Please come down.
Yes, we want to give a mention to our sponsors.
Yes.
JT from Go Solar Workshop, who's instrumental in getting this show on the air, and also... Lee Olson from Warm Windows is another sponsor we have, and Rego yep. Electric that does electric cars there on 59th and Nicollet. Rego, R-E-G-O, electric.com. And Jay Nygaard.
Minnesota Wind.
Jay Nygaard from Minnesota Wind. And so we've got such a wonderful crew of sponsors, and also a new addition to our supporters is the Solar Oven Society, where you can cook with the sun, and that thing is fabulous.
And also, if you're looking to get decluttered, Nicole Linsky, I think, can help you out
from Overstuffed,
there.
Yes.
She's here.
Yeah.
Nicole's here. So
sweet.
Come down, see us. We're having a great time. Thank you guys for letting me come in and barge in on your show. I'll see you here in a bit.
Thanks.
Have a good one, JT.
Anytime. You're welcome anytime. Barge in anytime.
All right.
Bye. Okay, he's gone now. That man is so rude. No, we love JT's cool. He helped me put my batteries on my house last Friday.
So oh, yeah?
Came out and hooked up 8 new backup batteries. So now I got 800 amp hours of backup power
wow.
in my house, which is probably good for about 3-4 days at least.
Yeah, that's a good system.
But you're still net metered? So
yeah,
you're
still net metered. Right, right.
Okay. Yep.
But not fair. They don't give me fair value for the energy I produce. They do a net metering,
mm-hmm.
the net metering thing. So, but that's a whole other show.
It's a whole other show. Because even if you produce all your own electricity
and you sell more to
the grid, you still have to pay the service charge every
right.
month just for the privilege
right.
of
being associated with Xcel Energy. Wow.
The amount of bureaucracy you have to
My dream
through.
Utility company.
They're trying.
They're trying.
They're really trying. They've made... I mean, compare them now to where they were 10 years ago.
Right.
You got to give them some credit.
Okay.
All right. It's
okay.
So aggravating. Yes.
So anyway, what I'm interested in doing, I've got a project I'm working on in Roseville. So I've got an old 1963 build house, stick frame house. We're going to pick that up and move it over because it's right on a property line between two lots. And then we're going to build a zero-energy home on both lots. And we want to trick this old house out and make it just a net-zero bomb. And actually, we're going to do negative. We want to do get to the negative territory to reverse the energy use and actually make up for our deadbeat neighbors who are doing absolutely nothing to save the planet. So we want to try and get negative territory. And what are your favorite materials for greening up an existing home? Because you've got experience with this.
Right. And there's a lot of choices. And, I mean, you can spend hundreds of hours just researching this. Fortunately, there's some good databases out there. But a lot of it is just by local. That's the main thing. Buy as close to where your project is. So then at least you've diminished those transportation costs of getting things to where you are. Because when you say that, you know, 60% of the energy consumption and 60% of the greenhouse gases are produced by the built environment, a component of that is the transportation and delivery of all
those
materials.
That's 30%, though. You have 60% from housing. You have 30% from transportation, shipping, all that stuff. You have 1.5% from just information technology or computer use. Then you have 1.5% from the airline industry and a smattering of other industries there to make up the rest. So, but the lion's share is in our transportation and in our housing.
Yeah, the housing is huge because if you think about it, there's about 87 or 88 million residential projects in the United States of America, and there's 7 or 8 million commercial and public and civic buildings, and all of them have to respond to the environment they're in, whether it's Arizona or Alaska or right exactly in the middle, you know, Minnesota at 45 degrees north latitude. They all have to be heated in the winter, cooled in the summer.
Right.
They all have hot and cold running water.
Sure.
That's where all the consumption is.
Sure.
So when you're designing a new house or retrofitting an existing structure with all its embodied energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, you first, you know, just kind of give a cursory look at the life cycle analysis of the building materials that are there. Are they better where they are, or should you disassemble the whole
sure.
thing and reconstruct it in a different configuration
sure.
to take advantage of what's now being called the green infrastructure of a site?
Right.
And essentially that means, you know, looking at what are your water resources, what are your solar resources, what is your wind resource?
Okay, Richard, I got to cut you off there because we got to do a wrap-up. Give us things people are supposed to do to save the planet and to make their lives greener. You got 10 seconds.
Oh, 10 seconds. Well, conserve the valuable resources you have now and be very persnickety about your new purchases. Run it
what's
through
your,
some type
what's
of
your
filter.
Website? What's your website?
My website is very simple. My first and last name, richardvenberg.com. That's V as in Victor, E-N-B-E-R-G.
We'll put it up on our website.
Okay.
And Tyler Tracy. 2 seconds.
Check out Go Solar at the Paul and Sheila Wellstone Center.
Cool. And you're listening to Green Rack Radio. I'm your host, Dale Howie, on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Discover great meals and great memories at the Great Waters Brewing Company. Built in downtown St. Paul's historic Ham Building, they're a local favorite before or after a tournament or event. Savor selections like boneless duck breast and gently seared tenderloin pork medallions, or nibble away at appetizers like the bacon beer nuts. Great Waters Brewing Company is best known for their one-of-a-kind craft beer, offering a rotating selection of 9 top brews, 426 St. Peter Street in St. Paul.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.